I offer my very sincere gratitude to all of the assembled devotees for taking the trouble to come to this holy pilgrimage of Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. During this yatra, we try to follow particular rules. We should not speak of anything that does not induce devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our own minds and in the minds of others. And we should avoid hearing such things. We do not go on pilgrimage like an ordinary person takes a holiday. For us, it is a holy day. We come specifically for our purification. Every moment is an opportunity in the holy dham, in the association of devotees, to go very deep into our ultimate aspiration of pure devotional service. By the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we have assembled here for that purpose alone. I am so grateful that several of my worshipable God brothers and God sisters are here with us. To my left we have His Holiness Indrajumana Swami Maharaj. If I were to speak even a drop of the ocean of their glories, we would have no time to speak anything else. But what can we say about Indrajumana Swami Maharaj? One of the most lovable personalities in the 14 worlds and beyond. An absolutely fearless preacher of the holy names. Wherever he goes, his attraction to Krishna attracts everyone's hearts. His diaries are an inspiration and solace to thousands of people throughout the world. His amazing tours and festival in Poland are festivals that this world and our movement have never seen. His beautiful kirtans, his devotional classes, and his incredible personality have really captured the hearts of everyone who has come in contact with him. I literally begged and pleaded for him to be on this yatra with us. And he's come all the way from California just to be with us for about 3 days and then has to be in Poland. Let us show our gratitude and welcome with immense enthusiasm His Holiness Indrajumana Swami Maharaj. Much louder, please. To my right, we have this superbly lovable personality, His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj. It wasn't time yet, but thank you for your spontaneous enthusiasm. Maharaj, wherever he goes, he literally melts devotees' hearts. His childlike, innocent enthusiasm just spontaneously springs from his heart and drowns us with an enthusiasm for devotional service. His incredible analytical explanations of the essential elements of bhakti, his wonderful dancing, his kirtan, and his very kind friendship have really conquered our hearts. We are so happy that he has come. He also came long distance just to be here for this yatra. Let us welcome with tumultuous enthusiasm His Holiness Satchidananda Swami Maharaj. Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj is also with us. We will welcome him another time because he is reserving his energies for Rath Yatra tomorrow. So he is not attending this evening. He had a very serious automobile accident some months ago. And it's really amazing that he's come this far for this yatra. He's back at the Birla guest house near the ocean. And let us express our gratitude in such a way that he can hear it at this moment.
Viva! Viva! Viva!
And we also have His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj. If he's here, he's in such a humble position that nobody knows. Is he here? So we will welcome him later. Another wonderful God brother and a dear and old friend of mine, His Grace Dharmatma Prabhu has joined us. Can you stand up, Dharmatma Prabhu? Please. They cannot see. Please, if you stand up, you'll save so much time. Oh, you're standing? He's standing, but he's on a lower step. Let us welcome our dear friend, Dharmatma Prabhu. And we have the famous Sri Prahlad Prabhu, who will be leading us in kirtan tomorrow. Anyone else? Navina Nirada Prabhu. Where is he? Navina Nirada Prabhu, can you stand up?
On the roof.
He's waving. A rare appearance. It's our great joy to welcome Navina Nirada Prabhu. Years of wonderful service to Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya's mission. Let us welcome him. And to everyone else. When Srila Prabhupada was a small boy in the back lanes of Calcutta, he would organize an annual Rath Yatra festival for the friends and neighbors in his neighborhood. with great enthusiasm. His mother would get him a little wagon. He would decorate it very nicely with great devotion and put the deities of Baladev, Subhadramayi, and Jagannath Swami, and pull the chariot with kirtan through the lanes and alleys of Calcutta and distribute prasad. And Srila Prabhupada explained when he was a little older, he would oftentimes get the schedule of the trains leaving from the Hora station and see what time the trains would be going to Jagannath Puri, and regularly dream about coming to this holy place. After Srila Prabhupada established the Hare Krishna movement, he established Rath Yatra first in San Francisco and renamed San Francisco, California, New Jagannath Puri. And from there, he organized and inspired Rath Yatras in practically every major city of the world, and installed the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra by his inspiration. There are thousands and thousands of such deities in people's homes and temples on all continents of earth. Without Srila Prabhupada, hardly anyone outside of Orissa and Bengal would have ever even known about Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. So I believe that Srila Prabhupada is very blissfully smiling upon all of you who have come from all parts of the world to celebrate Jagannath's Rath Yatra here in Sri Puri Dham. Jagannath Puri is spoke about profusely in the Vedic literatures. The Brahma Purana, Agni Purana, Matsya Purana, Narada Purana, and most elaborately in the Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya of the Skanda Purana. I would like to briefly summarize some of the history that is told by Srila Vyasadev in this regard. It begins with an assembly of sages who were in a forest discussing spiritual subjects. The leading sage was Jaimini Rishi. He was illuminating the hearts of all of the assembly, especially when he told about a very holy place on earth within the middle planetary systems, which is the eternal residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is called Purushottam Kshetra. The sages were very curious to know more about this place. So he explained. Karunadakshay Vishnu, simply by his will, created the entire cosmic manifestation. By his exhalation, all universes manifested from his pores. The Lord simply by his will impregnated material existence, or the Mahatattva, with the 24 material elements, which are all presided over by the three modes of material nature, Sattva Guna, Rajaguna, and tamoguna. However, the creation was in an utterly stagnant condition until Mahavishnu glanced within it. With that glance, he impregnated material nature with his own power of time. The time factor activated the three modes of material nature, and through this process, creation began. He also impregnated the womb of Mother Nature with all living entities whose karmic situation was to be here. The secondary, or Visharga, creation was left to Lord Brahma. The Lord gave all facilities, knowledge, and abilities to Lord Brahma, who created the residences for all the living entities to live within. But as Brahma was creating, he became very depressed. Why? Due to compassion. Because as the creator, secondary, of this creation, he knew how it worked and why. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshana darshanam. Krishna tells this material existence is a place of misery. Brahma prayed to Lord Vishnu. He prayed. And Lord Vishnu came, descended on a beautiful swan carrier and manifested himself before Brahma. Brahma told, "My Lord, I have created a situation where everyone suffers." Why are they suffering? Bodily, they're suffering due to thirst, hunger, too much cold, too much heat. People are suffering due to diseases of all varieties, due to birth, old age, disease, and death. And mentally, people suffer from anxiety, depression. People suffer due to the urges for sex life. They suffer due to envy. They suffer due to pride. They suffer due to anger. I am feeling very compassionate for all living beings. Is there a place where they can be delivered? Please tell me. And the Lord replied, "There is a place. It is my abode within this world. And because I reside in that place, it is known as Purushottam Kshetra. You will find it north of the sea and south of the Mahanadi River. It expands 80 square miles. And the heart of Purushottam Kshetra is a bluish mountain, which is called Nilachala. On that mountain, I appear as Nila Madhava, a magnificent sapphire blue stone deity, along with my consort Lakshmi. And anyone who goes to that holy place and sees that deity will certainly be delivered from all sufferings." Lord Brahma was very enthusiastic. He immediately left his own abode and came down to this earth planet and searched through the jungles of Orissa and came to Purushottam Kshetra. When he came upon the Nilachala, he saw a gigantic Kalpavriksha tree. Just under the Kalpavriksha tree, it was Rohini Kund. There he saw a great miracle. There was an ordinary, insignificant crow that happened to be flying in the sky. And he dipped down and touched the waters of Rohini Kund. Immediately, that crow was transformed into a four-armed associate of the Lord and ascended to Vaikuntha Loka. Brahma then offered prayers and love to the deity of Nila Madhava. Yamaraj, the son of the sun god, happened to see what took place. He immediately came down. And along with Lord Brahma, standing before Nila Madhava and Lakshmi Devi, Yamaraj asked a question. He said, "You have given me the duty to punish people for their sins. How will I perform my duty if even a sinful crow, just by touching this water, goes back to Godhead?" This is quite an obstacle in my service. Lakshmi Devi, she replied, that Brahma, Yama, please listen very carefully. In this Purushottam Kshetra, it is such a holy place that whoever resides here and sees my form will be purified of all sins. This is the abode of the Lord. Neither Brahma or Yamaraj or any of the demigods have any authority in this place. In fact, even at the time of the dissolution of the universe, at the end of the day of Brahma, this is the one place that remains as it is. In this regard, Vrindavan Das Thakur in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat quotes from Skanda Purana. Herein, it is told by Lakshmi Devi and Nila Madhava that when the demigods look down at Purushottam Kshetra, they see all the animals, beasts, birds, and insects have four-armed Vishnu forms as associates of the Lord. In fact, it is said in Skanda Purana that this place is so holy, anyone who goes to sleep here gets the same credit as entering into full yogic samadhi. Anyone who walks here, one step, gets the credit of circumambulating the holy places of pilgrimage. Anyone who speaks here is as good as someone chanting the Vedic hymns. And it even goes to the extent of saying, even if someone eats fish here, gets the credit of eating Havishya, the sacred offerings to the Lord. But please, Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas told us not to do that. So following the order of the Acharyas takes precedent over this benediction. It is a most holy place. Lakshmi told Brahma and Yamaraj a story about Markandeya Rishi. He had the darshan of Nara Narayan in Badrikashram and was given the benediction to live a long life. Now, what is a long life for you? 80 years? Maybe 90? If you live to 100, if you're in the UK, you get a special letter from the Queen of England. If you live to 100 in America, you get a 3-second picture of yourself on television stations. But Markandeya Rishi was given the benediction to live for 7 kalpas. Now, what is a kalpa? A kalpa is an entire yuga cycle of Satya Yuga, which is 1,728,000 years. Treta Yuga, which is 1,296,000 years. Dwapara Yuga, which is 864,000 years. And Kali Yuga, which is 432,000 years. The entire cycle of the yugas is one day of Brahma. Brahma lives 311 trillion, not 40 million years. And then the night of Brahma is the same amount of time in utter darkness and dissolution. 7 such kalpas. So it was quite pleasant, because Markandeya Rishi was a very highly realized person in yogic samadhi. Daytime was very nice, but when night came, it was torment, absolute devastation. The whole universal creation, up till Swargaloka, was flooded by the ocean of dissolution. Massive waves. When we go to bathe in the sea here, you will be crushed by some waves. But what are these waves? These are nice, pleasant waves to purify our bodies. But the waves in the ocean of dissolution, practically every wave is a tsunami. And it was freezing cold. And he has to be there all night for millions of years. In the water. It is, to say the least, a sleepless night. It was freezing. He was being bashed and smashed by the waves. He had nowhere to rest. There was nothing to eat. There was nothing to drink but salt water. And there was these gigantic Timangila fish that can swallow whales in one bite that were gazing upon him in great anger and threatening to destroy him. Oh, how he was suffering. Millennium after millennium passed. Millions of years passed. And then he saw something that struck his heart. There was an island. And on that island was a big banyan tree. It's the first piece of land he saw in millenniums. Sitting on one of the branches of that banyan tree was a beautiful little boy, a baby, whose complexion was like the Indranila gem, was a resplendent bluish hue. He had lotus-like eyes. And very playfully, with both of his hands, he lifted up his foot and put his toe within his mouth and sucked on it. Just by seeing the beauty of this child, all Markandeya Rishi's sufferings ceased to exist. He was in transcendental bliss. Now, this is amazing. It was the same cold, the same massive waves, the same Timangilabvish jumping at him. But just by seeing the beautiful personality of Godhead, he was above and beyond all miseries. He was in transcendental happiness. You see, Krishna consciousness is not about no reasons to suffer. This material world is a place of misery. A devotee does not pray to Krishna, please stop the sufferings. Because the sufferings are going to happen, whether you're a devotee or not. But when we taste param drishtva nivartate, when we taste the sweetness of Krishna, then the sufferings of material existence become insignificant in comparison to the happiness that Krishna showers upon us from without and within. Just as Markandeya Rishi was gazing upon the beautiful form of Lord Krishna, the little boy looked at him and smiled. Suddenly the boy just inhaled, and Markandeya Rishi found himself forcibly pulled out of the water and right into his mouth. From his mouth he went down toward his belly. Markandeya Rishi saw in the body of the Lord from inside all the 14 planetary systems. He saw the Himalayan mountains, the oceans, the planets, the demigods, all living beings. It was amazing. Then suddenly the Lord just blew out and Markandeya Rishi flew back into the ocean of dissolution. And Markandeya Rishi prayed to the Lord. All he wanted was undivided devotional service. The Lord explained that this particular land is Purushottam Kshetra. This is my abode. In the entire lifetime of Brahma, when there are 100 dissolutions, this abode always remains as it is. You can make your residence here. Markandeya Rishi lived here in Puri, and soon the day of Brahma came. The water subsided, but he did not go anywhere. He was absorbed in remembering that beautiful form of the Lord. Lord Shiva was so interested in this extraordinary personality who has performed tapasyas like nobody has ever seen. He came here along with Uma, his beloved consort, and wanted to give darshan to Markandeya Rishi. He said, Markandeya Rishi, I have come. But Markandeya Rishi was so deeply immersed in internal consciousness of thinking about that beautiful form of baby Krishna. He could not take note of anything of this external world. But Lord Shiva wanted to give him a benediction. So what Lord Shiva did is he entered into the air and manifested himself within Markandeya Rishi's heart. Markandeya Rishi there saw Lord Shiva standing in his heart with a beautiful dark complexion, 3 eyes, 10 arms, holding his drum, various weapons, a skull, and he was smiling in great happiness. Markandeya Rishi was so astounded by this sight that he opened his eyes and saw Lord Shiva standing in front of him. Lord Shiva offered him any benediction. So pleased I am by your amazing enthusiasm and patience under all circumstances to to remain faithful to the Lord. Markandeya Rishi did not want mystic powers. He definitely did not want a longer life. He only asked for one thing. Grant me unfailing, unflinching devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to all of his devotees, especially you, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva granted him that benediction and then left that place, chanting the glories of Markandeya Rishi to his wife, Parvati. Markandeya Rishi established a deity of Lord Shiva, which is still here today. It is called Markandeshwara. And the place where he did his worship is not far from here at Markandeya Sarovar. Now, when Yamaraj heard this story, he also established a deity of Lord Shiva called Yameshwar Mahadev and remains there worshipping Lord Shiva in honor of his great love and devotion to Lord Krishna. Lakshmi Devi continued extolling the glories of Purushottam Kshetra. She said to Yamaraj, "You have no position here. Whatever a person does in Puri Dham is under the authority of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. None of the demigods have any influence here." And then she told Lord Brahma that in the future there will be a great king. His name will be Indrajumna Maharaj. Myself and Nila Madhava will disappear from this world, and this great devotee king, I want you to help him to establish my deity here and build a beautiful temple. Now the sages inquired for Jamini Rishi, "Can you explain something about this Indrajumna Maharaj?" And he told that Indrajumna Maharaj was a pure devotee of the Lord. He ruled the entire earth planet from his capital, Avanti. Avanti is to, I believe, in Madhya Pradesh, close to Ujjain. One time, Indrajumna Maharaj was in the assembly of saintly persons. And one very elderly sadhu was present. Indrajumna Maharaj was expressing his heart. "I have so much power, so much wealth, so much popularity, but it does not satisfy my heart. I want to see the Lord. If I do not see the Lord, everything in my life is useless. It has no value. The human form of life is specifically and especially meant for self-realization. The perfection of self-realization is to know God and to love God. Is there a place, is there a way that I can see the Lord in my life?" This elderly sadhu stood up and spoke. "When I was a child, I was wandering the world and brought to a place called Purushottam Kshetra. What a holy place that is. There is a deity of Nila Madhava. I stayed in that place for 1 year. Should I tell you something else, King? Under this banyan tree where Nila Madhava resides is Rohini Kund. And even an insignificant crow attained liberation just by touching that water and having the darshan of Nila Madhava. There is no place like that. My dear King, I do not want any benediction from you. I don't want wealth. I don't want long life. I don't want powers. I only want one thing. That you should attain pure devotional service to the Lord. If you go there, all of your heart's desires will be fulfilled. And Jajumana Maharaj, he had such enthusiasm. Nothing else mattered in his life. He asked his chief minister, can you help me find this Nila Madhava? I was told it is in a place called Nilachala. The chief minister had a brother of the name Vidyapati who took it as his mission in life to serve the king by finding Nila Madhava. He searched and searched and ultimately came to Purushottam Kshetra. Here he came to Nilachala through very dense, thick forests. When he was lost, he heard the speaking of a class of men living in the forest called Shabaras. He was welcomed very cordially by them. The chief of the Shabaras greeted him with great affection. His name was Vishwavasu. Now, according to Skanda Purana, Vishwavasu was very eager to show Vidyapati the beautiful form of Nila Madhava. According to other story, it goes like this, that Vishwavasu was very, very reluctant that anyone see the deity, because he always feared that the deity would someday leave him. In fact, it was known through legend that someday a king would come and Nila Madhava would leave the service of the Shabaras. Now here Vidyapati is a servant of the king. But still, he showed him great affection. Ultimately, Vidyapati married the king of the Shabaras' daughter, Lalita. And by the persuasive appeal of both his daughter and son-in-law, Vidyapati was brought to see Nila Madhava. But he was blindfolded. But on the way, Vidyapati was dropping mustard seeds, knowing that later on, the mustard seeds would grow and he would know the pathway. He was brought to Rohini Kund and in front of Sri Nila Madhava. And there, the blindfold was removed. Vidyapati was thrilled. Previously, whenever Vishwavasu would come home from his worship, he had these magnificent garlands and the most succulent prasad, and he just smelled with such a fragrance. The reason was that Vishwavasu worshipped him in the day, and at night, the demigods, every night, they would come down to worship Nilamadava and offer celestial flowers that never wilted. And the demigods would offer the most succulent prasad. Now they were living in the jungle where all there was to eat was roots and herbs. But yet every day Vishwavasu would come home with this magnificent plate of demigod cooked prasad. So now Vidyapati was seeing Nilamadava. An ecstatic love awakened within his heart. He was so eager to go back to Avanti Desh and bring the king. When he returned to Avanti Desh, he explained to the king all the news. The king immediately, he said, "Let us go on procession. And all the people of my kingdom who wish to join me, let us proceed to Nilachala to attain the goal of life of seeing the Lord face to face." So there was a wonderful procession. The king was riding on a royal elephant, and there were people singing beautiful songs, and Brahmins chanting mantras, and musicians singing ragas, and magnificent procession. Just then, Narada Muni appeared. The king welcomed Narada Muni, gave him his own throne to sit on, and sat at his feet. And asked Narada Muni, "Can you tell me, what is the true goal of life?" Narada Muni explained, "The only way one can understand God in truth is through devotional service or bhakti. There are different levels of bhakti. I will explain it in this way to you today. Some people perform devotional service in the mode of ignorance. Who are such people? Those who worship the Lord with pride. Those who worship the Lord with envy in their heart. Those who worship the Lord with anger. They are devotees in the mode of ignorance. It is a very long and slow process, and it is not pleasing to the Lord. And then there are those who worship the Lord in the mode of passion. Devotional service in the mode of passion is symptomized by persons who are longing for material benefits, who have excessive lust, who want money and fame and position as a result of their service. The Lord is not very pleased by such offerings. And then there are those who worship the Lord in the mode of goodness. They really want to be free from their sins. They serve the Lord hoping and praying to be freed from fruitive activities and praying to offer their services to the Lord without expectation of anything in return. That is devotional service in the mode of goodness. But all types of devotional service within the material modes of nature is not pure. It is not really pleasing to the Lord. The Lord is only pleased by pure devotional service. What is pure devotional service? Those who have a deep attraction to hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the transcendental names and attributes of the Lord. Such persons in pure devotional service, whatever offerings they make is for one purpose alone: to give satisfaction to Krishna. Pure devotional service is the only means of understanding the Lord as He is. Gita explains, "Yaya tamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham." As we approach the Lord reciprocates accordingly. Only for those who worship the Lord with love does Krishna reveal himself as he is. Narada Muni explained to King Indrajumana that this is the path of the real acharyas, and by following in the footsteps, that is the path of perfection. King Indrajumana was so pleased. He invited Narada Muni, "We are going now to see the Lord Nilamadava. Please come and join us on this procession." So Narada Muni came. Should I continue? As they were traveling, they came to this province of Orissa, and the king of Utkala came to greet them, because he was a small king. He came to honor Maharaj Indrajumana. Maharaj Indrajumana asked, "How are things in your kingdom?" The king of Utkala explained how, what can I say? There was a massive storm, like a cyclone. And it practically destroyed my entire kingdom. Even the deity of Nilamadava disappeared. When the king heard that, he fainted. But Narada Muni brought him back to consciousness and said, "Do not be afraid. After all, if you have enthusiasm, patience, and determination, the Lord will definitely reveal himself to you. There are always obstacles on the path of devotional service, but we must be determined. I give you my word, King. Through your devotional service, the Lord will be pleased and your desires will be fulfilled." So the king gained great hope and continued his journey. They came to Bhuvaneshwar after crossing the Mahanadi River. Jaimini Rishi explained the glories of Bhuvaneshwar. Lord Shiva married Sati, and Sati's family did not like Lord Shiva because she was like a princess, and Lord Shiva was, he was wearing skins of animals or bark of trees, or sometimes he didn't even bother wearing anything. He never combed his hair. He associated with all kinds of controversial personalities. And he didn't even have a home. So just to satisfy Sati, Lord Shiva created the city of Kashi, which was a beautiful, beautiful city. And he presided with Sati and performed his pastimes for thousands and thousands of years there with beautiful palaces and bathing ghats. But after some time, Lord Shiva, he went to Mount Kailash and left Kashi to a king named Kashiraj and descendants of Kashiraj. Now this King Kashiraj, he was very dear friends with a man named Pondraka. And Pondraka claimed to be Vishnu, Vasudev. And he accused Krishna that you are usurping my position. You are a fraud. You are a pretender. One who says he's God is dog. I am God. You are dog. Something like that. And he says, if you want to keep holding your conch shell and disc and club and lotus flower, if you want to keep wearing your Kostubha mani, which are actually mine, if you don't give them up, then I challenge you to battle. When Krishna got this message, he laughed. And Pondraka assembled his troops. And Kashiraj was his friend. They all battled against Krishna. And Krishna, with his Sudarshan Chakra, He eliminated all of them. And he cut off Kashi Raja's head and he sent it flying into Kashi. Now they saw this mutilated head with earrings on and they were celebrating. They were thinking, yes, Krishna's dead. But then when they looked at it closer, they realized our king is dead. Now Kashi Raja's son, whose name was Sudakshina, he was very angry. He was also known as, now he was Kashi Raj, because his father was dead. So Sudakshina, Kashi Raj, he worshipped Lord Shiva, because Kashi is the abode of Shiva. He did tremendous tapasya. Lord Shiva appeared to him. What benediction do you want? I want to conquer Krishna in battle. Lord Shiva said, you're asking me? What do you have to worry about? You go, you fight. Have all confidence. I'll be behind you with my armies. Do not fear. Lord Shiva knew exactly what would happen, but he was leading him on to his own destiny. So Kashi Raj attacked with full confidence, and he heard Lord Shiva on his bull Nandi behind him. There was nothing that could defeat him. And he performed this yajna and created this fiery demon named Dakshagni. And he sent it to Dwarka to destroy Krishna and the whole Yadu dynasty. So what happened is Dakshagni was terrorizing Dwarka. But Krishna smiled and he sent his Sudarshan Chakra. And with that Sudarshan Chakra, Dakshagni was defeated and he ran away and he went back to Kashi. And according to these tantric rites, if you create a weapon that doesn't kill the object, it comes back and kills you. So Dakshagni killed Sudakshina and all of his priests. And then it went after Lord Shiva. Now Lord Shiva sent his Pashupati Astra. Pashupatvara, yes? And Krishna sent his Narayana Dwara. Lord Shiva's weapon created massive heat. But Krishna's weapon created intense cold. Now in this regard, Srila Prabhupada tells that when there's too much heat, it is austerity. And human life is meant for austerity. So please be encouraged. But when there is too much cold, it is simply miserable. Everything stops. So Lord Shiva's formidable weapon was defeated. And Sudarshan went after Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was running away just like Durvasa Muni. He was running every possible place in the universe, but Sudarshan was right behind him, and finally Lord Shiva fell at the feet of Krishna and begged, I'm sorry, I made a big mistake. I'm so foolish. I sided with an enemy of yours. Please forgive me. I take shelter of you. Please forgive my offense. Lord Shiva surrendered. Krishna smiled in an angry mood and said, Shiva, you are a fool. What have you done? You took sides with my enemy. You know so much, but still you did like that. In my opinion, there is no one in this universal creation that hates me more than you. Now, Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu. He's the greatest devotee. To hear that those words from Krishna, Lord Shiva was devastated. That is the nature of love. Shankara Bhagavan fell at the feet of Krishna, crying tears of repentance. He said, my Lord, you are the controller of all controllers. Nothing can happen without your sanction. It was due to your influence that I became covered over by false ego. But by your mercy, you have smashed that false ego. Now I beg you, my Lord, please give me a benediction. I don't want to make these offenses again. Unless I can personally associate with you, I'm always in danger of having false ego again cover my intelligence. For a devotee, there is no greater enemy than false ego. Now, isn't this amazing how Maya deludes people? In this world, people will strive, even risk their lives, to nourish their false ego. But for a devotee, this false pride is the number one enemy to Krishna consciousness. Lord Shiva was praying, I'm so vulnerable to this false ego. I have so much power. I have so much position. I'm one of the three demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, who are in charge of the entire universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. Please save me. The only way I can protect myself from false ego is if I'm always in the association of yourself and your devotees. Please give me such a place to reside. The Lord said, yes, I will give you a very favorite place of mine. I am residing in Nilachala. And I will make you the protector of my Dham. Within Purushottam Kshetra, you will reside in a place called Ekamravan. And there, you will be so close as my intimate associate. I will be Jagannath, and you will be Bhuvaneshwara. Lord Shiva was so happy. And then Lord said, because you are so dear to me, in all of my dhams you will be the Kshetrapala. Wherever there is a holy place where I reside, you will be the protector of the holy dham. But you will personally live with me in Bhuvaneshwar. So King Anjujumana came to Bhuvaneshwar. And there he worshipped Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva appeared to him and told him, go to the forest. Just near Nilachala you will find a deity of Lord Nrsingadev. Worship him there. Build a temple for him there. And then you should perform 1,000 Ashwamedha yajnas. So they came into forest, and there they found the beautiful, ferocious deity of Lord Nrsingadev. They worshipped him and built a temple. Then Narada Muni inspired the king to perform his 1,000 Ashwamedha yajnas. Actually, something happened just before that. When they first came to this area, King Anjujumana, his left eye started pulsating. Then his left arm started pulsating. And he asked Narada Muni, why am I feeling inauspicious symptoms? And Narada Muni said, because there was a great sandstorm and Nilamadava disappeared and he will never again be seen on this earth. And Anjujumana Maharaj fainted. It was unbearable. He came back to consciousness only because Narada Muni was putting water in his face and fanning him and chanting mantras. And Anjujumana Maharaj, he said to Narada Muni, what is the use of my life? If I can't see Nilamadava, I don't want to live any longer. I will coronate my son as king, and I will remain here in this forest of Nilachala, and I will fast till death. Narada Muni, due to my sins, I know this has happened to me. But I have a question for you. Why Even you knew that Nila Madhava had already left. Why you participated and encouraged me to bring my entire kingdom here to see him? Narada Muni replied, why are you discouraged? You should never be discouraged in the path of bhakti. Said, the Lord has a plan. He is going to appear to you. Nila Madhava is going to appear in this world in a most unique and wonderful form. And all your desires will be fulfilled. That form will manifest. But first you must perform 1,000 Ashwamedha yajnas. So after installing Lord Narasimhadev and worshipping him, the king performed 1,000 Ashwamedha yajnas. Just toward the very end, he had a dream. He explained to Narada Muni in the morning that last night I saw Svetadvip, the spiritual world, and I saw Lord Vishnu with four beautiful arms laying on Ananta Shesha, who had 1,000 hoods, and Lakshmi Devi was massaging his feet, and he glanced upon me with such love and devotion. Can you tell me what this means? Narada Muni said, yes. You are about to complete your 1,000th yajna, and in reciprocation, that Lord that you saw in your dream is going to appear before you. Just after he concluded the 1,000 yajnas, some people came running to the king and told him about an extraordinary event that had just taken place. Would you like to hear? There was an intoxicating fragrance that drew them to the sea. And there they saw, floating in the waves, was a tree, a big tree. It was so effulgent. When they came closer, they saw the symbols of Vishnu manifesting within the wood of that tree. And Jajumana Maharaj turned to Narada Muni and asked, what are we to make of this? And Narada Muni said, that the Lord has manifested as that tree. That personality you saw in your dream, Lord Vishnu, one of his hairs has fallen down to this world in the form of that tree. And Lord Brahma has instructed me to help you to manifest the Lord in that tree. So under Narada Muni's instruction, King and Jajumana bathed in the ocean, and then they pulled the tree out and brought it to an altar, Mahabedi. Narada Muni said, now we must find somebody who will carve it. At that time, a very old man, who was actually Vishwakarma in disguise, he came forward and said, I will carve the deities of Daru Brahma. Give me 15 days in complete privacy. I will not eat anything, I will not drink anything, and I will not be disturbed in any way. In fact, you should not even hear the chiseling. Have music and singing and dancing going on. So 15 days passed, and still the carpenter did not come out of the enclosed quarters. King Indrajumana, as well as his wife, Gundicha, the queen, they became very, very eager and very much in anxiety. He was eager to see the Lord. Was something wrong? The time limit is finished, and he hasn't come out. He said not to be disturbed. What's happening in there? So finally, King Indrajumna opened the door, and there he saw what appeared to be three unfinished carvings. They looked like deities, but they had no hands and they had no legs. And then he was thinking that the carpenter warned me that if I came in before he finished his work, he would disappear. It seems like due to my impatience, he's left and everything's spoiled. King Indrajumna was in so much anxiety, feeling such deep guilt, that he decided to fast until death. But Rupa Goswami explains that the price of seeing Krishna and knowing Krishna is that eagerness of the heart. King Indrajumna was so eager. Nothing else meant anything to him. Neither his beautiful queen, his wonderful children, his millions of obedient subjects, his vast wealth, his young, healthy body. He wanted to end his life. It was at that moment that Narada Muni appeared again and explained, the deities are finished. This is the way they're meant to be. This is the Lord's form in Mahaprakash Bhava. Then Narada Muni explained the history. Here in Jagannath Puri, just 14 days ago, was the Snan Yatra. Snan Yatra is the birthday of Lord Jagannath. It was on the day of Snan Yatra that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as that big log of wood in the ocean. Narada Muni told a story in a previous kalpa when he was in Dwarka Dham. And it was in Dwarka that the queens of Krishna were wondering, why is Krishna always absorbed in thinking of the gopis of Vrindavan? Rukmini was saying to the other queens that sometimes at night Krishna is crying out, Radhe, Radhe, Gopi, Gopi. Satyabhama, she said, why at night? Even in the daytime, sometimes Krishna just goes into a trance and cries out, Radhe, 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 Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. The queens all came to the conclusion that he's with us only in body, but his mind and his heart are always in Sri Vrindavan Dham. What is the power of the love of the gopis and the gopas of Braj? We want to hear the stories. So all the queens approached Rohini Devi and asked her to narrate the pastimes of Vrindavan, because it was only Krishna, Balaram, and Rohini who lived in Dwarka who actually experienced the Sri Vrindavan Leelas. Rohini said, I will tell the story. However, as soon as I start speaking about the beautiful pastimes of Sri Braj Bhumi, Krishna and Balaram will come running to hear from wherever they are, because they will not be able to resist hearing it. And if they come, they will be in such ecstasy, I will not be able to speak. So someone must guard the door and tell me if they're coming. Subhadra Devi said, I will guard the door. and she stood in the middle of the doorway with both of her hands blocking the entrance. Rohini was describing the childhood pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan Dham. There was pin drop silence. All of the 16,108 queens were in rapt attention. As they heard about the spontaneous love of the Brijbasis, they considered their own devotion to Krishna to be insignificant. Krishna Balaram could understand that Rohini was describing Braj Leela, so they came running to that place. But Subhadra, hearing about the pastimes of Vrindavan, she entered into Mahaprakash Bhava. She was so ecstatic that her eyes dilated, her limbs, legs and arms entered into her body like a tortoise. She was speechless. And Krishna and Balaram were standing, one to the right and one to the left, listening, stunned, spellbound, as they were hearing Krishna's Braj Leela. And when Rohini came to the point of describing Radharani's love for Krishna, Krishna's eyes dilated into big, beautiful, round lotus form, as did Balaram's, and both of their arms and legs merged into their bodies. The Mahaprakash Bhava. The forms of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra in the intense ecstasies of separation from Vrindavan. At that moment, Narada Muni appeared from the skyways and said, "I have seen, I have seen." And immediately Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra appeared in their regular forms. But Narada Muni said, "I have seen, I have seen, I have seen this Mahaprakash Bhava." Krishna was so pleased with Narada Muni, he offered him a benediction. And Narada Muni asked for this: "Let there be somewhere on earth where you, in this form of your ecstasies of love and separation from Vrindavan, will be manifested. And let these forms that I saw today attract the hearts of people from all over the world. And let whoever sees and worships these forms with real devotion, let them attain your eternal abode, my Lord." Lord Krishna said, "Yes, I grant your benediction. In Nilachala, in my abode of Purushottam Kshetra, I will be in a beautiful temple on the hill in these forms, manifesting my love for Vrindavan Dham. And whoever comes to see me and worship me will achieve the benediction that you desire." Narada Muni was in ecstasy. Chanting the holy names, he was glorifying the beautiful form of Jagannath throughout the universe. When Indrajumana Maharaj understood the nature of Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra, he became immensely blissful. And then a voice came from the sky telling that he should build a beautiful temple for the Lord. Indrajumana Maharaj got his best architects and took the entire treasury of the whole world's kingdom to build this temple. He said, "Everything is the property of Krishna. Everything should be utilized for the service of Krishna. There is no greater way to spend wealth than to glorify Krishna." And with great efforts, they built the most magnificent temple on earth. When the temple was complete, Narada Muni said to King Indrajumana that I am going to go to Brahmaloka to request Lord Brahma to come down to perform the installation. Indrajumana Maharaj asked, can I go with you? He said, yes, come. And a magnificent chariot appeared. They crossed beyond Swargaloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and went to Satyaloka, the abode of Brahma. There a gatekeeper stopped them and said, oh, Narada Muni, you have come. Your father will be very happy to see you. But he's just singing some songs about Krishna now. And when he's singing songs, he is not to be disturbed. So please just wait a few minutes. After a few minutes, they were let in. Brahma was so happy. He said, yes, I will definitely come down and install the deities. But Indrajumana Maharaj, know that I'm coming because of your pure love and devotion. But be forewarned. The time here is different than the time down there. A moment here is more than a year there. And because you waited a few minutes while I was singing, 71 yuga cycles have already passed on earth. That's one manvantar. So many thousands and thousands of kings, your descendants, have come and gone and come and gone and come and gone. Anyways, you go down, you make all the arrangements, and when everything is proper, I will come down to perform the installation. So King Indrajumana came down, and there, this magnificent temple was still standing. And the deities were still sitting on the Mahavedi. And King Indrajumana performed the installation according to Narada Muni's instructions. They had Abhishek for the deities. And then Vishwakarma came and made the most magnificent three chariots ever seen. When the chariots were complete, the Abhishek was concluded. The deities of Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath were placed on these chariots, and they had beautiful white horses that pulled the chariots from the Mahavedi to the temple. And this, according to the Skanda Purana, was the world's first Rathayatra. They placed them on the altar, and Lord Brahma appeared and performed the rites and rituals and invited Krishna to remain there. In fact, Lord Brahma explained that the first 50 years of his life, he worshipped Nilmadhava. But now the second 50 years, exactly when he became 50 years old, that's when Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra were installed. Something like his 50th birthday. And he said, for the next 50 years of my life, Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra will be worshipped. During this whole occasion, there was a king named Gala. King Gala, he was very much disturbed because he didn't know who this Indrajumana Maharaj is. You know, 71 yuga cycles is a long time. So he was thinking, who is this person all of a sudden building this gigantic temple in my kingdom? So he attacked with his armies. But when he saw the temple and he saw the deities and he saw the love of King Indrajumana, he surrendered. And King Indrajumana said, actually, you know, I left my kingdom post long ago. I'm not staying in this world. You and your descendants should now maintain the deity worship. And the Lord instructed the Vishvavasu and his descendants should especially be given the service every year from Snan Yatra through Rath Yatra, the 9 days in Gundicha, and then the return yatra, they are in charge of the worship of the deities. Srila Prabhupada explains their names are Dayatas or Dayatapatis. Should I continue? What is the time? 7 o'clock? So I'll speak a few more minutes. Here in Jagannath Puri, all of the great acharyas have come. Sripad Shankaracharya establishes Govardhan Math. Sripad Ramanujacharya, when he was on his preaching tour, he came to Puri, and he was establishing bona fide devotional principles based on the Shastras. He defeated Shankaracharya's philosophy and established the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the ultimate conclusion of all the Vedas. And the only way to approach him is through bhakti, or pure devotional service. Now, when he came to Puri, he took note that the way the pujaris here were worshipping the deities were according to local traditions and all sorts of spontaneous rituals that had no place in the Vedas. So he preached to the pujari and tried to convince him to do everything according to his path, the Vedic path. Now that night, Lord Jagannath appeared to Ramanujacharya and told him, they are worshipping me with love. I like the way they worship me. Why are you interfering? Get out from this place. And he threw Ramanujacharya in his sleep. And Ramanujacharya woke up in Andhra Pradesh. He was laying next to this deity. He thought he was Lord Shiva, so he started fasting because that's the way to worship Shiva. But then he would have realized he was Kurma, the avatar of Vishnu. And he had a big feast and festival and established first-class deity worship for Kurmadev. Sripad Madhvacharya also came here. And there were wonderful pastimes of his disciples, Narahari Tirtha and others who resided here. Balabhacharya has a sitting place here as well. And long ago, not long ago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the seventh Goswami, he came here as well. We'll discuss that a little later. Most important for all of us is that Jagannath Puri was the home of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 24 years. Of all the places on earth, after he took sannyas, he came to reside in Jagannath Puri. In the month of Magh, just at the completion of his 24th year on earth, just around the time of Makara Sankranti, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order of life from Keshav Bharati Maharaj in Katwa. By Lord Nityananda's arrangement, although he was so enthusiastic to go to Vrindavan, he was led to Shantipur, where he was met by Advaitacharya, and later his mother and all the devotees came to meet him. Because Lord Nityananda Prabhu understood the heart of the Lord. Although he longed to see Vrindavan, ultimately pleasing his devotees was first and foremost. There Sachimata and the devotees prayed to Lord Chaitanya that if you go to Vrindavan, we will never see or hear from you again. But the same Krishna that's living in Vrindavan is living not so far away in Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. Please make your home there. Because Puri and Navadvip are like two rooms in the same house. Devotees are always coming back and forth. We will always hear about you. Lord Chaitanya chose to come to Puri. With four of his associates, he traveled by foot. When they came to Bhuvaneshwar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy before the Lingaraj deity. Krishna Das, I'm sorry, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he explains this amazing phenomena that Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of Krishna. When he chants the holy name of Krishna, he dances so ecstatically, sometimes his clothes falls off and he doesn't even know it. But now the Lord is showing how much he loves his devotee. The Lord is dancing in total ecstatic love for the pleasure of Lord Shiva. This is the reciprocation of the Lord and his devotee. From Bhuvaneshwar, they came to a place where the Barginadi River was. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath in Barginadi. But before taking his bath, he gave his danda to Nityananda Prabhu. Then he went to the Kapoteshwar Mahadev temple. In Skanda Purana, Jaimini Rishi explains the history of Kapoteshwar Mahadev. Shall I tell?
Yes.
Long ago, this area was really a very, very difficult jungle. There was only cushy grass that was as sharp and hard as spears growing. No trees, no flowers, no food, no water. Shankar Bhagavan chose this to be the place to perform tapasya. He hadn't eaten or drunk anything for years, worshipping Krishna. Krishna was so satisfied that he appeared before Lord Shiva and said, I grant you this benediction that you will have all Aishwarya. You will have the power to make everything opulent according to your desire. And instantly, this whole area, which was a horrible jungle, it became magnificent. Every tree was growing fruits and flowers. There was crystal clear nectarine lakes and everything. Now, because when Krishna came to see Lord Shiva, because he was fasting for so many years, he became so small and thin. He looked like a pigeon or a kapota bird. Because his love for Krishna, he did this tapasya and became small and thin like a kapota bird. The name of that deity is Kapoteshwar Mahadev. And nearby that, there is Baleshwar Mahadev. The story of that briefly is Krishna came here with the Pandavas. And at that time, there was a hole in the ground that went down to Patala Loka, and demons were constantly coming up and haunting people. So Krishna and the Pandavas killed all the demons, and then they put a big stone over the hole, and Krishna told Lord Shiva to guard the hole and not let any demons through. So for this reason, he is known as Baleshwar Mahadev. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Kapoteshwar Mahadev to worship the Lord, his devotee. And at that time, Nityananda Prabhu was holding the danda. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, he looked at the danda and he spoke these words. that person who I hold in my heart is holding you in his hand. That is not right. He broke the danda in three places and threw it in the river. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from the Kapoteshwar Mahadev Darshan and they continued their journey. When they came to Kamalpur, Lord Chaitanya saw the chakra and the flag on top of Jagannath's temple. He offered obeisances repeatedly. He was weeping. His limbs were trembling. He could hardly walk. Every few steps, he just would see the chakra and offer obeisances again. Dandavat, dandavat, dandavat. The walk from Kamalapur usually takes an ordinary man about an hour and a half to Atharanala. Lord Chaitanya was falling on the ground in ecstasy for 9 hours before he finally came to Atharanala. And then he asked Nityananda Prabhu, give me my danda. Nityananda Prabhu said, my lord, the danda broke. How did it break? He said, well, you were holding it and you were in so much ecstasy. You just fell down and the danda broke and it fell in the river and nobody knows where it is. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, actually, I broke it. I'm sorry, forgive me for my offense. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased in his heart because he knew the intentions of Nityananda Prabhu, but externally he wanted to show by his example. He said, you have done me a great favor by bringing me here, but you have done a great disservice by breaking the only possession that I have is my danda. All the demigods and the Lord himself are manifested within the danda of a sannyasi, and you have broken it? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that Lord Chaitanya took Ekadanda sannyas from the Mayavad school because that was what was most respected at that time. But the Ekadandis have one dandas that everything is one. God is one. We are one with God. Ultimately, Brahma Satyam Jagan Nitya. Nityananda knew that the Lord did not like this philosophy. So he broke it in three, made it into a tree danda. And besides, the Lord is beyond renunciation. He's the supreme enjoyer. Why does he have to carry danda? Why does he have to perform all these austerities of a sannyasi? But Lord Chaitanya was not happy externally. And he said to Lord Nityananda and the associates, he said, you have taken away my only possession. Now you either, I will not go to Puri with you. Either you'll go before me or behind me. But I will go alone. Mukunda Das said, my lord, you should go ahead of us. We cannot go before you. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crossed that bridge called Atharanala. And he said to his devotees, actually previous to that, he kept saying, as soon as he saw the chakra, he kept saying over and over and over again, in front of the temple, I'm seeing a beautiful little cowherd boy waiting for me. He was walking so fast. He was so eager to see Lord Jagannath. A moment was like 12 years or more. Every minute seemed like hundreds of hours to Lord Chaitanya in his anticipation to see Jagannath. He wanted to show the world how to take darshan of the Lord, not just as a formality, not just as a ritual. Krishna reveals himself according to our eagerness. Our eagerness to surrender ourselves to him. Our eagerness to serve him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he is pleased to see you. And one of the greatest pleasures of Krishna that he sees is our eagerness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so eager. He walked
through the Singhadwaram. He walked by the Garuda Stamba, gazing at the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, saw Krishna standing on the altar in his threefold bending form, playing his flute with the peacock feather decorating his head. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran to embrace the Lord, ran. And just before coming to the altar, his ecstasies went beyond his powers to control, and he fell to the ground unconscious. The guards were ready to beat him, thinking he was a pretender. But just at that moment, Vasudev Sarvabhauma happened to come into the temple. He saw the extraordinary qualities of Lord Chaitanya. He said, "Bring this Swamiji to my home." Just behind where we are sitting is the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a great scholar of the scriptures. He understood that the Lord was in ecstasy. There were no symptoms of life. There was no heartbeat, no pulse, no breath. But the finest little threads of a cotton swab slightly moved to reveal that he was still alive. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, according to all the Vedic procedures, was trying to bring the Lord out of his trance, but nothing worked. But soon after, Nityananda Prabhu, Damodar Pandit, Jagadananda Pandit, and Mukunda appeared. And Gopinathacharya brought them to his brother-in-law's home. They chanted very loudly in the Lord's ear, and he came to consciousness. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Gopinathacharya, right here, 30-second walk from where we're sitting, this whole leela took place. He said that he asked a question. He said, "What sampradaya has he taken sannyas?" Said, "Bharati Sampradaya." So I can promote him to the Saraswat Sampradaya. Why should he have a lower class of sannyas? Gopinathacharya was appalled. "What nonsense you're talking. He doesn't need you to elevate him. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Immediately, Vasudeva Sarvabhauma's disciples, "What are you saying? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is Triyugi. He only appears in three yugas. He does not come in Kali Yuga. Where in the Shastras does it say?" And Gopinathacharya was quoting Darya Shastras as evidence that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his students could not accept it. So finally, Gopinathacharya said, "You are just a dry, hard-hearted logician. One can only understand the Lord when one receives the mercy of the Lord. And because you have not received even a single drop of the mercy of the Lord is standing right in front of you and you cannot recognize him." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "We're only having a friendly talk. Why are you getting so angry on us?" Lord Chaitanya heard about this. And he said to Gopinathacharya, "Why have you said this against your brother-in-law? He loves me like a son. He has parental affection. He's only trying to protect me. Why have you said like this?" And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Lord Chaitanya, "You are very young, only 24 years old, and you're so beautiful. How will you maintain your sannyas? Impossible. Do you know what happens when someone takes sannyas? As soon as one gets his danda and become a sannyasi, one thinks I'm God. One thinks, let everyone bow down before me. And that pride ruins one's life. As soon as you think you're better than someone else, your spiritual life is ruined. The only way you can survive in your ashram is you must understand clearly the knowledge of Vedanta, the difference between matter and spirit. I will teach you the Vedanta Sutra." Lord Chaitanya was very happy. He said, I am your obedient student. Whatever you tell me, I will do. They sat in the Jagannath temple for 7 days. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained Vedanta. He was not just an ordinary teacher. He was the greatest scholar on earth. The king was his student. Great sannyasis and pundits from all over the land were coming to study under him. He was the authority. And he was a totally pious, cultured gentleman in every respect. In fact, he was the incarnation of Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods. Can you imagine his explanation of Vedanta? But there was one slight fault. He taught according to the message of Shankaracharya, Mayavad. Now Lord Chaitanya could have just said, you're a Mayavadi, I kick you. But Lord Chaitanya sat respectfully and listened to him for 7 days. Because if you don't respect someone, they don't respect you. So Lord Chaitanya gained his respect. He sat there and listened for 7 days and didn't say a word. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, why have you asked any questions? You haven't said anything. I don't know if you understand or not. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm a fool. How can I understand Vedanta? But why didn't you ask any questions? He said, actually, Vedanta Sutra is very clear. It's very direct. It's as easy to understand Vedanta Sutra as it is to see the sun at noontime. But your explanations are like a dark cloud that has completely obscured the real meaning of Vedanta. Sarvabhauma was shocked. Who could ever speak to someone of his stature in this way? He said, then you tell me, what is your understanding? Lord Chaitanya said, Shankaracharya has spoken indirectly. But the real understanding is the absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Lord is revealed in the scriptures as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why do you say that he's only manifesting in the mode of goodness? Where does it say that? Nowhere does it say that. It is a concoction. It is speculation. The Lord's form is Satchit Ananda. It is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. When the Veda says he has no material form, when it says he is formless, that means he has no material form. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the impersonal Brahman and the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, are one and the same. But to enter into his highest loving pastimes, we must worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya presented so many arguments, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu effortlessly defeated all of them. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained the Atmarama verse in various ways, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then explained it 18 ways without even touching one of the ways that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke. When Sarvabhauma heard that, he realized there is no one that can have such intelligence except the Supreme Lord himself. He was convinced. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya accepted that the highest conclusion of all knowledge is pure, unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested a forearm form holding the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower right in front of Sarvabhauma's eyes. And then that form transformed into Krishna playing his beautiful flute. And on another occasion, the Lord manifested his Sadbuja. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding his kamandalu and his danda. He was playing on a flute with another two hands and holding bows and arrows of Ram with the other. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered his life and soul and accepted Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. That happened just behind us.
Another thing that took place here is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came one early morning with Jagannath's prasad. Sarvabhauma was still sleeping. Lord Chaitanya knocked on the door. He heard Sarvabhauma. As soon as he woke up, he cried out, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." He came in and Lord Chaitanya gave him Jagannath's prasad. Immediately he bowed down and ate it. Lord Chaitanya said, "What is this? You're a Brahmin. According to the Shastras, you cannot, until you wash your hands and wash your mouth and you do your puja, you cannot eat." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that the power of prasad is so holy that even if prasad comes from a distant place, even if it's decomposed, one should immediately, without considering it, eat it. Arivo. Prasad is so powerful, it is so merciful, that it is beyond all rules and regulations. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, "Today I have conquered the entire world. My purpose for descending from the spiritual world has been fulfilled because a hard-hearted logician like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has understood the glories of Jagannath's Mahaprasad." And Gopinath Acharya saw this. And he praised Lord Chaitanya. "How is it possible? My brother-in-law, his heart was like a dry oil cake with all the oil drained out of it. Totally dry. Totally unpalatable. He had no love for Krishna, no devotion to Krishna. He was just a speculator, Mayavadi. But by your mercy, Lord, look! Now he's relishing Mahaprasad. He's accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the path of pure devotional service." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "It is not me. What have I done?" "It's because you prayed for him. Because you prayed for him, Lord Jagannath has delivered him." Shortly after this, Lord Chaitanya announced that he was going to South India. He was gone for about 2 years. When he returned, King Pratapa Rudra, who was longing to meet the Lord, arranged with Kashi Mishra a place for Lord Chaitanya to reside. That place is called Gambira. We will be visiting there. When the news came to all the devotees in Bengal, they were so anxious to meet the Lord. Imagine 2 years traveling in South India. There was no emails. There was no websites to find out. Or what are they called? Blogs. There were no blogs. There was no websites. There was no describing of Lord Chaitanya's daily affairs. There was no telephones. There wasn't even mail. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't do that stuff. So 2 years went by and nobody heard anything from the Lord. And when he came back to Puri, he sent Kal Krishnadas to proclaim to all the Bengali devotees that Mahaprabhu has returned to Puri. So immediately they made arrangements to come. And when they came to the Ataranala, this very ancient bridge, King Prataparudra, Gopinath Acharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were on the rooftop of the palace watching. And when he saw the kirtan of these devotees, he was astounded. Srila Prabhupada explains, in Jagannath Puri, so many kirtans are going on. King Prataparudra saw thousands and thousands of kirtan parties. But not like this. The king was exclaiming, "I have never seen such joyful people who have such effulgence." And the way they're singing and the way they're dancing, it's melting my heart. What is this kirtan? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained, this is the special contribution to the world of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. It is called Prem Sankirtan. The Sankirtan of pure unalloyed love for Radharani and Krishna. That Krishna, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Krishna has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya, especially to give this gift to the world, Prem Sankirtan. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked, if he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is it explained in the scriptures? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained from the Shastra. One of the verses he quoted was, what is the Krishna Varnam Prasa Krishnam Sangha Pangasha Parashadam Yagyai Sankirtanam Praya Yajanti Hisumedasa. That those who have good intelligence in this age of Kali, they will worship the Supreme Lord who has come with his associations, his associates. He has come not in a blackish, but in a beautiful golden form, and he's to be worshipped by the loud congregational chanting of the holy name. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after saying this, was asked by King Prataparudra, it's so obvious in the scriptures that he's the Lord, and it's so obvious by his activities, Why so few people in this world understand it? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, it is only when one receives the mercy of the Lord that this understanding is revealed. And King Prataparudra said, who are these two people coming? They're coming with garlands and sandalwood. Said, this is Advaitacharya. This is Govinda. This is Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda, they are being sent as an advance party to greet the devotees. He said, and who is that person leading? He's so effulgent. That is Advaitacharya. He's the best of all devotees. Then he saw the meeting. Such love, such affection, such care. Vaishnav relationships are the sweetest manifestation of spiritual realities on this earth. Just seeing the way the devotees were interacting with one another completely transformed Maharaj Prataparudra's life. And then he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally come out. He embraced each and every devotee. He put garlands and sandalwood on the limbs of each devotee as the devotees were crying in great happiness, bowing down. And meanwhile, the ladies, the wives of the men, they were in a little bit of a distant place, gazing at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with such deep, ecstatic love. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reciprocating with them in their hearts. Then the Lord brought them to Gambira and gave them a big feast. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, according to the Vedas, when you come to a holy place, you're supposed to first see the deity and you're supposed to fast. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told the king, when the Supreme Lord Jagannath tells you to eat, then you eat. That is the highest principle of surrender. They all came with the great expectation of celebrating Ratha Yatra with Lord Chaitanya. And I will speak something very briefly about Ratha Yatra, I think. After Snan Yatra for 15 days, Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra are taken care of by the Dayatapatis in a very secluded place. No
public is allowed their darshan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not bear being so close but not able to see Lord Jagannath, so he went to Alalanath. And for those of you who have been there, you'll see there's a big stone where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasies of separation from Jagannath, melted. The imprints of all of his bodily limbs are still within that stone. But when he heard the devotees for Bengal have come, that gave him life and happiness, and he returned to greet them. Along with his devotees, they cleansed the Gundicha Mandir. And tomorrow, on Rath Yatra Day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his devotees, they took their early morning baths. And King Prataparudra gave them special places to see the Pandu Vijay or Pahandi, where Lord Jagannath is brought out to their chariots. You will see tomorrow if you are fortunate. Just pray that we can at least live till tomorrow to see us. When Jagannath comes out, first Baladev comes out. First Baladev comes out, and then Subhadra, and then Sudarshan, and then Jagannath. Now when they carry Balaram out, and they carry Jagannath out, they walk as if they're totally intoxicated. They're staggering. They're swaying back and forth and leaning side to side. And they have these big, magnificent crowns made out of bamboo and natural ingredients. And they're just, as the deities are swaying and swaying, the crowns are going back and forth. They look totally intoxicated. You'll see. And the Dayatapatis are carrying them with their arms, with their shoulders, with thick silk ropes. One of our dear friends, who is one of the leading Dayatapatis, Ram Kumar, after this Pahandi, I asked him, there's about 20 of you around Jagannath's body trying to... How do you coordinate with each other to make him look so drunk? And Ram Kumar said, it's not us. He said, all 20 of us are trying to hold him still. It's Jagannath that's moving that way. Why? Because Ratha Yatra represents Jagannath and Balaram and Subhadra going from Kurukshetra Dwarka to Vrindavan. And in a stupor of intoxicated, of ecstatic separation and anticipation of returning to Vrindavan, Jagannath comes out like that. So as they carry Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra out, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees were ecstatically crying out, Mahima, Mahima. Lord Chaitanya secretly said this actually, which is the way of honoring a respectable person. Now you will see tomorrow, they have to make these ramps out of many logs that are tied together to bring Jagannath onto the chariot. Now 5 years ago when we came, they brought Jagannath about halfway up, then three-fourths, and then he just laid back. And they were just, they were moaning, trying to get him up, and he just kept going down, practically laid, and then he was halfway off the ramp. They couldn't control him. And he just laid there for about 10 minutes. And you will see, there's an MC for the whole Rath Yatra. There's speaker systems all over the whole Grand Road. And there's one man who's just giving reports to everyone of what's happening. And Jagannath just wouldn't get up. Ultimately, the man on the speaker, he said, Jagannath,
There's 850,000 people here who have come to see you take your chariot ride. This is no time to go to sleep. He chastised Jagannath. And immediately, Jagannath stood up and went on his chariot. And after all three deities were properly situated on chariot, then the king of Orissa comes and takes the menial position of a sweeper. At the time of Lord Chaitanya, King Prataparudra came with a broom with a golden handle and with great love and devotion swept the street and sprinkled it with scented waters for the pleasure of Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. Such a man of such power and position from his heart of hearts was taking the position of a menial servant. Now, according to Indians' caste traditions, a street sweeper or a bhangi is not a very respectable position. But King Prataparudra was eager to take such a position in the service of the Lord and his devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided that that moment when he saw the humility of King Prataparudra, that he would bestow his supreme mercy on that king. Previously, the king begged for interviews through so many channels, but Lord Chaitanya always denied. I am a sannyasi. He is a materialistic man. If I see him, it will be the downfall of my reputation. Sannyasi is like a white cloth. If there's one drop of black ink on it, everyone will take note. Even if he's a great devotee, the fact that the word king is connected to his name makes him abominable. If you ever even ask me to see him again, I will leave this place. You will never see me again. That is how strict the Lord was. But when he saw King Prataparudra taking the humble position of a menial street sweeper, Lord Chaitanya was pleased. I will give my complete mercy to him now. And then the procession began. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided his devotees into 7 Sankirtan parties. Each party had 2 mridanga players, 1 lead singer and 1 lead dancer, and many others who were chanting and along with it. In the first party, Swarup Damodar was the lead singer and Advaitacharya was the lead dancer. The second party, Srivas Thakur was the lead singer and Nityananda Prabhu was the lead dancer. In the third party, Mukunda Dutt was the lead singer and Haridas Thakur was lead dancer. In fourth party, Govinda Ghosh and his 2 brothers, Vasudev and Madhava Ghosh, were the lead singers and Bakreshwar Pandit was lead dancer. And then he formed 3 other groups. The devotees from Shantipur, Achyutananda was lead dancer. The devotees from Kulinagram, Satyaraj and Ramananda Khan were the lead dancers. And the devotees from Srikanda were Narahari and Raghunandan were the lead dancers. 4 parties danced and chanted in front of Jagannath's chariot, 1 party on each side and 1 party in the rear. 14 mridangas were playing. The chanting was tumultuous. It was filling the entire world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so happy. He put garlands and sandalwood pulp on each of the Sankirtan participants with great love, with his own hands. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally wanted to worship the Sankirtan of the holy name. And then the Lord began to dance. But how he danced He danced in such a way that he manifested himself in all seven Sankirtan parties simultaneously. And each person in each party was thinking, Lord Chaitanya is only with me. How merciful he is. There's seven parties and Lord Chaitanya is staying only with us. What is our good fortune? How do we deserve this? And each devotee in each Sankirtan party was thinking, Lord Chaitanya is looking at me. Nobody could understand except those who were truly blessed. But Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that because King Prataparudra took the humble position of a menial street sweeper, he received the mercy of the Lord. He could see the miraculous wonder of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains what he saw. He saw that Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya were the one and the same person. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He understood that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of love of Radharani. And how Lord Chaitanya was enjoying seeing Jagannath. And Jagannath was enjoying seeing himself in the form of Lord Chaitanya. And not only that, Lord Chaitanya was in all seven parties simultaneously. Just as Krishna manifested himself between each two gopis in the Ras Leela, and each gopi was thinking, he's only with me. Or in Dwarka, Krishna manifested himself simultaneously in all 16,108 palaces, and each queen was thinking, Krishna's only with me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing that pastime for the pleasure of his devotees. When he would dance, sometimes he would manifest only one form, and then all seven parties would just go around him. And then he would divide them up again. The kirtan was amazing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance in such transcendental ecstasy. And Lord Jagannath saw the sandy paths of the road. He saw that as the banks of the river Jamuna. And he saw the sides of the road to be none different than the forests of Vrindavan. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, the dance of ecstatic devastation. Tears were pouring out of his eyes, not just pouring, but shooting like two syringes. And all the devotees anywhere near him were soaked by his tears. His hairs were standing on end. Bumps were coming out of his body, like the Shamuli tree. Sometimes his limbs became as hard as wood, and other times they became as soft as butter. Sometimes he became so heavy that when his foot hit the ground, literally the entire earth with all its mountains and oceans tilted. And other times he became as light as a cotton swab, and devotees would just pick him up and pass him to each other. At one point, his teeth were chattering like a little child in the winter. It appeared that each of his teeth were individually vibrating and about to fall out. Profuse perspiration, simultaneous with blood, was gushing out of his pores. He was changing colors from white to pink. And sometimes he would jump in the air and fall to the ground and roll around like a golden mountain. And at one time, foam started pouring out of his mouth, and one devotee named Shubhananda caught it and ate it because he is expert at relishing transcendental mellows. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing this way, anyone who saw him, the devotees, the pilgrims, the residents of Puri, just curious people just walking by,
Everyone attained the supreme perfection of prema bhakti just by seeing the all-attractive dance of Lord Chaitanya. When his dance somehow or other subsided in his ecstasies, he ordered Swarup Damodar Goswami to sing. And Swarup Damodar Goswami understood the Lord's heart and revealed the internal significance of Ratha Yatra. Swarup Damodar sang a verse that I have gained the Lord of my life, in separation from whom I was being burned by Cupid and withering away. Upon hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his ecstasies of Srimati Radharani became fully blossomed. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, and as Swarup Damodar Maharaj Goswami was singing, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enacting everything he said with his arms. Jagannath was so thrilled, his chariot stopped to watch Lord Chaitanya dance, and no one could move it. Then Lord Chaitanya moved forward, and Jagannath moved forward. And then Lord Chaitanya went in back of Jagannath's chariot, and Jagannath would not move, no matter how much everybody pulled. Lord Chaitanya wanted to test Lord Jagannath if he was really paying full attention to him. It wasn't until Lord Chaitanya came in front of the cart that Jagannath moved ahead. And Lord Chaitanya, he started chanting verses that no one except Swarup Damodar Goswami could understand. One verse was, in our youth, we would meet, just like we are meeting today, with the beautiful fragrance of the Malati flowers in a forest of Kadamba trees. But still, I long to take you back to the banks of the Reva in a forest of Batasi trees. Nobody knew what that meant. But Krishna, Swarup Damodar Maharaj understood, and later Rupa Goswami made Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner mood known to the world. Lord Chaitanya was praying in the mood of Radharani to Lord Krishna when she met him in Kurukshetra at the time of the solar eclipse. That you are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. And these are the same moonlit nights that we enjoyed on so many occasions. But I am not happy here. I want to bring you back to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Because it is said that the heart and the mind are one. But my heart and mind are only attracted to Vrindavan. Because Srimati Radharani knew that Krishna enjoyed the ultimate pleasure only in Vrindavan. It was for no selfish consideration that she longed to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. But because she knew that Krishna would have the ultimate enjoyment only in Vrindavan.
here in Kurukshetra, there are crowds of people making so much noise. The roaring of elephants, the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan, in that sweet forest, there is only the humming of bees and the singing of birds. Here you are dressed as a royal prince with a crown and with armor. But in Vrindavan, you have a peacock feather and the simple cloth of a cowherd boy, and your only companion is your flute. Here you are surrounded by soldiers and opulent queens. But in Vrindavan, you are amongst the cows and the cowherd boys in the simple forest. Please return to Vrindavan. That is where you will find true happiness. My heart is Vrindavan. Only when you put your lotus feet in Vrindavan will my heart be satisfied, my Lord. You have told us through Uddhava to meditate on you in separation. But we are simple cowherd burros. We are not yogis. Why are you teaching us this speculative knowledge about meditation and Ashtanga yoga? Do you not know that we are drowning in an ocean of separation for you, and we are being devoured by the Timangila fish of our aspiration to personally serve you? Please save us from this ocean of separation. Save us from these monstrous Timangila fish and return to Vrindavan. I am not asking only for myself, but don't you see your mother, Yashoda? She's weeping and crying incessantly. She's on the verge of death, as are all the Brijabasis. Are you trying to kill them? I cannot bear seeing their suffering. Can you bear it? I know you are a perfect gentleman, and everything you do is perfect. But look at the face of Nanda Maharaj. Look at his suffering. How can you do this to us? Please return to Vrindavan and fulfill all of our heart's desires. Lord Chaitanya was speaking these words to Lord Jagannath in the mood of Sri Radharani. And Lord Jagannath, as Shyam Sundar, spoke these words to Lord Chaitanya. That day and night I weep and cry in separation from the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Only my body remains in Dwarka, but my heart remains only with you. And I understand your sufferings. And as you are suffering, I am suffering. When two people love each other, when they really love each other, a long separation makes it impossible for either party to live. Knowing the nature of your love, I worship Lord Narayan every day. And by his grace, I manifest within your hearts. I must kill. If I come to Vrindavan, it will create havoc. All the demons will come and attack there. So I will just remain for a short time longer, and after I eliminate these demons, I will return to Vrindavan, and we will be together again to perform our pastimes. In this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami reveals the true meaning of Rath Yatra. Sri Radharani and the Braj Gopis, in their heart of hearts, when they saw Krishna in Kurukshetra, in their hearts, they built these chariots
and brought Krishna back to Vrindavan.
Jagannath Temple in this case represents the Lord's Aishwarya Leela,
and Gundicha represents Sri Vrindavan Dham. Tomorrow, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we are all being given the opportunity to participate in this eternal pastime of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada made it very simple. He said, Rath Yatra means bringing Krishna back home into our hearts, the Vrindavan of our hearts. The Rath Yatra stopped at a place called Balagandhi, where the Brahmins and the king and his queens and ministers brought so many offerings of bhoga for Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. At that time, Lord Chaitanya went into a private garden with his devotees to rest because they were dancing and singing all day. You will get that experience tomorrow, perhaps. Lord Chaitanya laid on a platform resting. At that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai told King Prataparudra, put on the dress of a simple Vaishnav, take off all your kingly robes, and go in there and massage the Lord's feet and legs while reciting the Gopi Gita. King Prataparudra had complete faith in the word of the Vaishnavas. He went in the garden. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't come near the king. Just a few hours before, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell in ecstasy of love, unconscious, and he fell right in the arms of King Prataparudra. And when he came to consciousness and he saw, he jumped out and said, how abominable! I have been disgraced by being touched by a king, a materialistic man. King Prataparudra felt very bad. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, no, he's very pleased. I promise you, he will show you all mercy today. You wait and see. So Prataparudra Maharaj, who was an incarnation of Indrajumna Maharaj, he massaged the feet of the Lord and sang the beautiful songs of the gopis in separation from Krishna, beginning with Jayati Te Itikam Janmana. Lord Chaitanya said, go on reciting, go on reciting. He massaged his legs. Then he came to that famous verse, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam, who Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj has made famous throughout the world. That the nectaring glories that are recited by the great souls are like a river of nectar that intoxicate the heart. They purify one's life and eliminate all sins. And those who recite your glories and spread your message throughout the world are the most munificent welfare workers. When King Prataparudra sang that verse, Lord Chaitanya leaped up and said, you are the most munificent! You are the most munificent! And he embraced the king. Again and again he embraced him, and wept on his body with his tears. Go on reciting, go on reciting. You are the most munificent. Ultimately, Lord Chaitanya asked, who are you? You have given me so much nectar. Who are you? King Prataparudra replied, I am the obedient servant of the servant of your servants.
My only aspiration in life is to be the servant of the servant of your servants. Herein, Srila Prabhupada gives a magnificent purport that there is no greater goal to aspire for than to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Kolavecha Sridhar, they were all offered any benediction. They wanted no material or spiritual perfections. All they wanted was to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. There is no greater thing to aspire for. And there is no aspiration that pleases the Lord more than that. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased, he revealed his divine opulences to King Prataparudra and told him, do not tell anyone what I have shown you. Then King Prataparudra bowed down and went out to meet the devotees. And the devotees were thrilled with happiness to see the mercy that he had received. And herein, Srila Prabhupada explains, this is the meaning of a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav is blissful to see someone else getting the mercy of the Lord. A Vaishnav is never envious to see someone else getting special empowerment or special mercy. In fact, Krishna tells Arjuna, you can understand this message because you are non-envious. Lord Chaitanya told Amoga, the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that you have the heart of a Brahmin. There can be no place for envy to reside in the heart of a Brahmin. How have you allowed this envy to corrupt you? Envy is the greatest enemy. Envy can only come in a heart that is proud. The greatest way we can make Krishna happy with us is when he sees that we are happy to see someone else being blessed. It is a fact. It's a great opportunity. If someone else is very successful or very empowered or getting special mercy, it's a great chance for us to make spiritual advancement. All we have to do is be happy. We will make leaps and bounds of spiritual progress just by being happy to see somebody's good fortune. That's all. You could go back to Godhead just by being happy to see other people getting Krishna's mercy. It's so simple. But we're envious. We can't tolerate seeing somebody else getting better recognition or getting better, doing something better than us, or getting special mercy. If we're happy, we get Krishna's special mercy. If we're unhappy, we fall down. It's very simple. The devotees rejoiced. None of them thought why he showed King Prataparudra my opulences and not me. He's a fallen grihastha. I'm a sannyasi. Hare Krishna. No, they were ecstatic. Then the king sent in masses of prasad. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes dozens and dozens of preparations. And Lord Chaitanya and all his devotees ate nice prasad. Then they went back out to the Rath Yatra. They tried to pull the chariots, but the chariots didn't move. Then they brought the big, powerful wrestlers, and they tried to pull, it didn't move. Then they brought the king's elephants, royal elephants in harness, pulled, it didn't move. And ultimately, Lord Chaitanya came out and took the ropes out of the wrestlers, unlatched the elephants, put the ropes in his little devotee's hands, went behind and pushed it with his head, and the chariot moved to Gundicha Mandir. Thus, where Jagannath remains for 9 days enjoying the pastimes of Vrindavan Dham. And during those 9 days, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would rest in the Jagannath Ballabha Gardens each night where we were today and come to Gundicha and see the Lord in Vrindavan, his heart's cherished desire. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we will participate in this pastime that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu celebrated every single year. Devotees traveled for weeks by foot to come to celebrate Rath Yatra with Lord Chaitanya. And if we have the eyes to see, we will see tomorrow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya, Gadadhar, Srivas, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, Haridas Thakur, all of the devotees chanting and dancing. In fact, when Narottam Das Thakur came to Jagannath Puri, he saw the Rath Yatra in a vision, and all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were dancing before Lord Jagannath. So whether we see or not, they are all there. So we should dance and chant in such a way that they are pleased to see us. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Mai Ki Jai. Shri Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Go Premanandi. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And now we would like to ask His Holiness Indrajumana Swami Maharaj to speak.
So as there will be other opportunities to also speak during the yatra, I'll keep it brief because I know that tomorrow is a very important day for all of us, for all of Jagannath Puri, for the whole world, for the whole universe. Lord will be going on His chariot through the streets of Jagannath Puri, and we all want to be there refreshed. So I'll just speak a few words. Mainly I'd like to express my very deep gratitude and appreciation to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj for inviting me here. As Maharaj was mentioning, it was not in my plans. I just finished a 5-week retreat with my dear godbrother Giriraj Swami in Santa Barbara, California. I was meant to rush back to Poland for the final days of preparation leading up to our Polish Festival of India, which literally begins in 72 hours. When I told the tour committee that I'd been invited to Jagannath Puri by His Holiness Radhanath Swami, they all fainted. Because you can imagine it's a big event. We have 2.5 months of festivals, 6 festivals a week, or 2.5 months. We get thousands and five to 10,000 people a night. So they're all expecting me to be there to help. But I told them that if I accepted Maharaj's invitation, then I would come back so spiritually enlivened, so spiritually inspired, that we would have our biggest festival tour ever in our the history of our Festival of India in Poland. So they agreed. So I'm very much indebted to Maharaj for bringing me here. Squeezing in just a few days at great expense as well. But I remembered Srila Prabhupada's reply in the 1970s. Prabhupada was encouraging the whole, as many devotees in the movement as possible to come to the Mayapur festival each year. And the some of the GBC men, they remarked that Srila Prabhupada is at great expense. There's so many devotees who are leaving their services and coming to the Mayapur. Tens of thousands, $100,000 are being spent. Prabhupada wouldn't even consider that. He said, that is not a consideration when you consider the spiritual benefit the devotees get from coming to the Dham and performing devotional service. So I'm very grateful to Maharaj, and I've always wanted to come to this festival. Of course, you know, we have Rath Yatra in different countries of the world, and I'm involved in either participating or organizing those Rath Yatras. But in my heart, I always wanted to come to the Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. Since the day of my initiation, I was sitting at the fire and my name was announced. So your name will be Indradyumna Das. So at that time, as a young devotee, I didn't know who Indradyumna was. So as soon as the yagya was over, I ran upstairs, and we had few books in those days. We didn't have folio or computers. But it didn't take me long to go through the index and find out who was Indradyumna. Maharaj Indradyumna, from Jagannath Puri, he who ordered the carving of the beautiful deities of Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev. So in my heart, I always wanted to come to Jagannath Puri. So I thought, this is the best opportunity now with Radhanath Swami Maharaj and his yatra of thousands and thousands of devotees. As we look here across the pathway, we see thousands. It reminds me of reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, where literally thousands and thousands of devotees would come and follow their leaders in the Rath Yatra festival. So very grateful. Of course, after hearing Maharaj speak, we have a saying in English, a very hard act to follow. There's not much left to be said about any of the subject matters that Maharaj has covered. I was thinking as he was speaking, something like Ananta Shesha, who's one of his services is to always be repeating the glories of the Lord. And he's so expert. Krishna's pastimes are unlimited, of course. But he's so expert that in describing the pastimes of the Lord, he's reciting names of the Lord, because the different names of the Lord glorify the pastimes or characteristics of Krishna. But he has been speaking since the beginning of time, and he's never repeated the same name of the Lord twice, because Lord's pastimes are unlimited. He covers the subject very completely. So Maharaj is in competition with Ananta Shesha, that he covers the subject matter very completely, but nothing left to be said. But there'll be other opportunities to address the different subject matters that are here. But very happy to be. Whenever devotee considers something, he's always considering the time, the place, and the circumstance in making his decision. The time, the place, and the circumstance. So in making my decision to come here and be here briefly on this yatra, I considered the time, the place, and the circumstance and decided to come. The time is Rath Yatra. The place is Jagannath Puri. And the circumstances are the association of Maharaj and my dear godbrother, Satchinandan Swami, Devamrita Maharaj, other devotees as well. This is the right decision to come to Puri, which is one of the Lord's eternal dhams, to the Rath Yatra, which I've been wanting to come to for almost 40 years, and the circumstances, the devotees of the Lord. Prabhupada has described that when we come to a place of pilgrimage, when we come to a dham, the real way that we enter into the dham is by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, particularly to hear from the Vaishnavas. If we come to the Dham simply to, as Maharaj was saying in the very, very beginning, hours ago, like tourists, what will we see? But when we come here, we're able to understand in the association of the sadhus. Actually, we come to the Dham to take darshan of the Lord. But I heard this morning from another Vaishnava a very interesting explanation of darshan. Darshan doesn't just mean that we come to see Krishna, but that by going for the darshan, Krishna also sees us. And what is the nature of his merciful glance? It's very purifying. There's a wonderful prayer to Lord Narsingadev, whose temple we passed this afternoon on our way to the Indus Rovana for our bath. Om Mam Him Shrom Om Fat Om Tataka Hatika Keshika Jalat Padakalochana Vidharaka Nakashvarsha Divashingha Namoshtate. O my Lord, O Transcendental Lion, I offer my obeisances to you along with Mother Lakshmi. Sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot, your mane hairs glow with the wonderful brilliance. Your glance and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. So we know from the commentary of our acharyas how the good fortune of Hiranyakashipu, although he was a great demon, is that he was killed by the nails of Narasimhadev, and as a result, he was purified and liberated. But that verse also mentions another form of purification, which is more acceptable for the Vaishnavas, is the merciful glance of the Lord. When we enter into the temple for darshan, Krishna is seeing, he's looking into our hearts. And that glance, we know how powerful is the glance. Everything of the Lord is very potent and purifying. His glance into our heart gradually removes our material desires like lust and anger and greed. Very potent. So we come here not only to see the Dham, but for the Lord to see us, because in the Dham there's so many temples, so many murtis, so many deities. That is the meaning of the Dham. The place of the Lord's Leelas is Leelastans. And where there is the Leelastan, the Acharyas, they install the deity of the Lord. And we come there and we hear the particular Leela, the particular pastimes. We become purified. So in entering into the temple, we hope to see the Lord and we hope the Lord to see us. But a humble Vaishnava, he realizes, what qualification do I have that Lord will look at me? Who am I that Lord will, his merciful glance will, what is my qualification that Lord will take notice of me? So therefore it's important that when we come to the Dham, we come in the association of advanced devotees, because Lord will look at them. And if we're in their association, there's a chance Lord's glance will fall upon us and we will become purified. Well, this morning when Vaishnava was describing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the Lord but also acting as the perfect devotee, he showed us how to get Lord Jagannath's mercy. When he first came to the Dham of Puri, he first went to the temple to have the darshan of the Lord. But after that, whenever the Lord Mahaprabhu would take darshan of Jagannath, where would he take darshan from? From the Guru Shtamba. Teaching us how to practice humility in devotional service, he would stand next to an exalted devotee, Garuda. Because he knew that if Jagannath is looking, he'll see his devotee Garuda, and by seeing his exalted devotee, he would also see himself. This is one technique that we can learn when coming to the Dham. To always be in the association of advanced devotees who are always receiving the mercy of the Lord. And by their mercy and the mercy of the Lord, we can come here and become purified. So I'm very happy that I've been invited by a very elevated, wonderful Vaishnava, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, and his entourage of Satchinandan Swami and Devamrita Maharaj and other, all of you actually. And hopefully in your association, Lord Jagannath will also look mercifully upon me, and my brief visit will inspire me to go back to my Prabhudat Desh, at least for the next few months, Poland, and be inspired to inspire the other devotees, to inspire the people of Poland, to take the mercy of Lord Jagannath, to take the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Prabhupada, and become blessed. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada ki, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Let me thank very much His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj for also diverting my path. I was to be somewhere else, but by His very kind invitation, my path was diverted to the real path of dancing before Lord Jagannath, a dream which will hopefully come full true if I live up to tomorrow. I cannot yet believe that I am here, nor can I believe that we will go on the same road which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took, nor can I believe that most probably, if we still live tomorrow, we will actually be before Lord Jagannath. I also sincerely want to express my great appreciation that His Holiness Indra Dumna Maharaj's path has also been diverted, because he is our great example in preaching to many, many vast people, vast oceans of people in the Western world. We are very, very fortunate and hope that he will bless us tomorrow. And my greatest thanks go to Srila Prabhupada, who has somehow come in the midst of the conflagration of the samsara in which I was drying and dying, and who has somehow pulled me into the association of these merciful Vaishnavas and all of you. It is not possible to now speak very long. Our competitor to Ananta Shesha. I don't know if Varanana Maharaj would like this appellation or this our talented pilgrim guide. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has covered many, many areas so that we have now a very broad spectrum of understanding for tomorrow. I would just like to make, however, two points. I would like to read to you from the Gauranga Stava Kalpa Briksha, the desire tree of prayers to Lord Gauranga. This is penned by the sacred pen of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who remembers Lord Chaitanya at the Ratha Yatra. Rasolastiya kati bi abito vari biralam dresho cinchalo kang aruna jalayantratva mittayo mudadante dashtva madura madaram kampachalitaye Natam shi gaurango hridaya udayang mang utmadayati. He says that Lord Chaitanya entered the Ratha Yatra like a dancer, decorated with the decorations of ecstasy. His voice changed, he shivered, he shed tears, and he was studded with goose pimples. And he describes how Lord Chaitanya would sometimes laugh in ecstasy as he would look with transcendental bliss on Lord Jagannath. He also describes how Sri Gauranga's eyes turned red and how from them squirts of water in great streams came rushing forth. He said that he showered all the devotees who were with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with these streams of ecstatic tears which rushed from his reddened eyes. He said how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bite his sweet lips. This has a meaning. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Ratha Yatra bites his lips, which look like the bandula flower, as red, it means, I have you now, you can't escape. Just like I have bitten my lips, they can't run away. You can't run away now. I have you. We will bring you to Vrindavan. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described, that he would dance. He would dance with the right hand waving in ecstasy and with the left hand on his hips. That he described in another verse. We all will go tomorrow to the Ratha Yatra festival. Tomorrow, if we still live by that time, our lives will become supremely successful. If we view the festival with transcendental eyes, if we view the festival with material eyes, we will think of sweat. We will think of so many people before us stepping on our sacred toes. If we look at the festival with material eyes, we will think, why has Indra not covered the sun sufficiently? Why is he not serving my perspirational activities in my body? My dear devotees, if we do not look with transcendental eyes at Lord Jagannath, we will not be in ecstasy. We will be in profound misery. But that doesn't matter, because Lord Jagannath will roll on with his mercy. He will not look at the mental platform of his devotees. He will come rolling on his chariot. He will show us what passive spirituality is, what it means when we ourselves are maybe not qualified, are maybe not bringing sufficient qualities. But despite of all of us, Lord Jagannath will overwhelm us with his transcendental mercy as he comes rolling, drunken with love, to the Gundicha Mandir. There are two points which we would like to say to prepare all of us. The first point is, you need to look, if you want to make the most of your festival, with eyes, not of blood and flesh. You need to look tomorrow through eyes of eagerness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown this in a very profound leela, which we will just explain very briefly. His Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj has alerted us to the fact that Mahaprabhu would have his darshan next to Garuda. He would be at the Garuda Stamba and from there view Lord Jagannath. Now one day, as he was standing in the temple, he remembered a dream which he had before. In that dream, he saw Lord Krishna dancing with the gopis of Vrindavan. He saw how Lord Krishna moved in the center of this wonderful circle of the rasa dance and danced Vishimati Radhika. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had watched this dream with the highest of spiritual pleasure when Govinda woke him up. Govinda was the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Govinda woke him up because the Lord had slept so long, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried and he marked the ground of Gambira with his nails, painting things in the earth with his nails, which only he could understand. And he cried, "Why have you woken me up, Govinda? Where is Krishna?" And Govinda brought him to Jagannath to have his darshan. Now at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still in what the Chaitanya Charitamrita calls the antar chitta, the inner consciousness. Lord Chaitanya had three types of consciousness: the inner consciousness, the external consciousness, where he perceived the world almost like his devotees perceived the world, and then a state of consciousness which was in between the inner and the outer state of consciousness. So Mahaprabhu saw, still in the inner consciousness, Lord Jagannath on the altar. And as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj had described earlier, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for the first time to the Puri temple, whom did he see before the temple? Who? A cowherd boy. He saw Lord Krishna. That was in the inner consciousness. But usually, when he saw Lord Jagannath and Baladev and Subhadra, he saw the Lord as being in Kurukshetra. So now, Lord Chaitanya, being under the influence of that beautiful darshan, looked at Krishna on the altar and saw, "Here is my Syama Sundara." At this moment, an Orissa lady who was expert in the art of climbing and who could not see very nicely the deity climbed on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then climbed also and took help of the Garuda Stamba. This lady committed two types of aparads. Aparad against the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and the aparad against Garuda by climbing or using this Garuda Stamba for mountaineering purposes to see better. Govinda was enraged. He said, "Lady, get down." The lady, who was driven by eagerness, shook. She saw herself standing on the shoulders of Mahaprabhu. She saw herself being there in somewhat in a mountaineering purpose and involved with the Garuda Stamba. She got down and she paid her obeisances and she cried, "Gosai, please forgive me, I didn't notice you." Mahaprabhu, by this encounter, came into another state of consciousness. He looked at the lady. He looked at Govinda. And he said to Govinda, it was not yet the external state of consciousness, because in that consciousness he would not react to, he would not allow woman to be even close to him. He said to Govinda, "Govinda, what have you done? you are an Adivasa, an uncivilized, uncultured person. What you have done, she is so eager. She wants to see the Lord. I have to learn from this lady the art of perception, the art of eagerness. Govinda, she may be on my back. That is her good place. Govinda, you have done wrong. She is so eager. She is my example. Lord Jagannath has not blessed me with this eagerness. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back into the Gambira and cried. Here he teaches us, as the teacher of all Gaudiyas, see through the eyes of eagerness. Why should you be eager tomorrow? Well, good, there are a few good reasons to be eager tomorrow. One is, you have come at the right place at the right time. With this, we mean that Lord Jagannath is so much in love and so much, you know, in a transcendentally happy, intoxicated mood, that he is very ready to give even that highest treasure which we cannot get even if we try many lifetimes to work on our qualification. Tomorrow is the day of causeless mercy, like it is never ever like that in the whole universe. That's why His Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj, being driven by His transcendental intelligence, has allowed His ways to be diverted. He knows tomorrow He can get what He cannot get in many, many millions of lifetimes. This is intelligence. This is why Radhanath Maharaj, who has only very good feelings in his heart, has pulled me by the ear to come here. This is mercy. Tomorrow, my dear devotees, is the day where you can get something which even Lord Brahma cannot get. But if you think tomorrow about sweat and about toes which are experiencing the pain of someone jumping with a big hairy ball on top of them, if you tomorrow are on the bodily or mental platform too much, little is unavoidable most properly, then you will not see with eyes of eagerness. The mercy will come your way, but you will have no container to catch the mercy, or your container will have many holes. Have you ever experienced the great amount of frustration when Charanamrita is served and you don't have a container? It is miserable. So if tomorrow you don't bring eagerness as your container, it is a miserable experience. Tomorrow looks through the eyes of eagerness. Tomorrow focus your consciousness. Today actually focus your consciousness on a sacred sankalpa. Sankalpa means something like an intention. Today, before going to bed, this is now modern psychology and ancient psychology mixed together. Think before you drift off into sleep, what will you do tomorrow when the Ratha Yatra comes? Look with the eagerness. Take part in the kirtan. Please, Lord Jagannath, with your loud chanting and with your elegant dancing, when you chant and dance, visit your heart, bring your heart along. That heart is the place of eagerness. That heart is the place of feeling. That heart is the place of longing. And then bring it to Lord Jagannath, and you will be changed forever. Even without a complicated sadhana, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the dispensation of love of God very easy if you are willing to enter into his kirtan. Yogis have thrown away their complicated pranayama exercise and yoga exercises when they understood Lord Gauranga gives the highest truth just by chanting. Materialists have stopped their vishaya, their sense gratification, understanding Lord Chaitanya gives a love of Godhead just by chanting the holy names. Mental speculators, so worried about the different mental tortures which they inflict to themselves, have thrown away mental speculation because they understood our Gauranga has appeared, giving love of Godhead through the chanting. And tomorrow, we all should just be focused. We should throw away our previous this obstacle or that obstacle, just dive into the chanting of the holy name with eagerness, thinking, my Lord, you are now coming out of the temple, you are following Gauranga Mahaprabhu, you are following your dearest devotees so that you go into the kingdom of uncomplicated love, the kingdom of Vrindavan. We are somehow here, we are pulling, we may not understand everything 100%. Hare Krishna. But we are somehow here. I wish all of you your best experience in Krishna consciousness tomorrow. With great gratitude again, I thank His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj for pulling me undeserved, without any qualification here. And let us use our time very nice, and let us now joyously call out, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki! Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki! Sri Ratha Yatram Mahotsava ki! Shila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.